Bell.
Good evening. My name is Teresa, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 5th of 1997. Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life and has saved my life now on two occasions. I was a good time having, tabletop dancing, uninhibited, wild thing. And I was having myself a damn good time. Alcohol was a lot of fun for me, and so were drugs. When I started drinking, I think I remember the very first time that I went out and had myself a really good time. I had ditched from school. I was in seventh grade. And I hitchhiked with a bunch of my girlfriends, and we found some older men to buy us liquor. And we went out, and we spent the whole day out getting drunk. And it was fun. I had a very long drinking and using career, and I decided to move to San Diego. I'd partied and didn't want to go back to some of the bars that I'd been partying in Fresno, big town of Fresno, and I decided I wanted the anonymity of being in a big city, and so started my partying time in San Diego. I went to a bar one night with a girlfriend. And she and I sat down at the bar, and we asked the bartender what we could get for $5 between us. And he started laughing. And he says, well, you can share a beer. And we're like, well, we will then. Fortunately, because we were some young, happening, good time having, tabletop dancing, wild things, we walked out of there with our $5 and a heck of a buzz. I got married, met a wonderful man, and I did some crystal a couple of days before I got married. No, the wedding wasn't stressful enough. I had to add some more to this adrenaline rush I was having, and because I was so stressed out, anxiety-ridden, and, you know, really nervous about this upcoming event, I had an anxiety attack so severe I called the paramedics 3 nights before my wedding. Well, you know, I got married. I had a job that allowed me the opportunity to drink. I didn't have a career. I was just existing. And now that I had a husband and had more money, I could afford a much better quality bottle of wine. It was no longer the box. It was now Mondavi and anything else I could get my hands on. And being the resourceful girl that I know I can be, yeah, drug dealers were easy to be found. I finally lost my job. And when I lost my job, I lost something really big, you know, being able to support myself and my habits. At this point, I had married a drummer in a rock and roll band, and I was out there having myself a good time in, you know, the dive bars where he was playing. And I was waking up the next morning after having blacked out, and asking him, what did I do last night? And I would look into his eyes, and he was so disgusted and so angry that I had been that good time having, falling down, wild thing. And I got fired from this job, And when I was confronted, because I was drinking and using on this job, this boss that I had, who I so highly respected, there were very few people in my world that I could look up to, because most of them were out there partying and having a good time. This woman confronts me and asks me if I'm smoking dope and going home for a glass of wine. It's like, yeah, because I'm hungover. I drink a lot of coffee in the morning, and then at noon I get the shakes, and then I go home and drink a half a bottle of wine. I come back, and on my afternoon break, I smoke a joint or a bowl, and then I try to finish out my day so that by 5 o'clock I can get out of here and get back to my drinking. And when she confronted me, I looked at her, and I thought, I am a drug addict and an alcoholic, but I am not a liar. And so I looked at her and I said, yep, I'm doing all those things. And she fires me. And I couldn't go home and tell my husband. He was already disgusted enough at what my drinking and my using was doing. And, you know, him being such a pragmatic, responsible guy, I couldn't tell him. So I ran away from home. I went to a friend's house who I could go drink with. And I went up to his house, and this guy ends up taking his time at getting ready to go out for dinner. And I didn't care. I said, I just need to eat something, but what have you got to drink? So we ended up going out for Taco Bell and having a really nice bottle of wine. And, you know, and I remember drinking this really nice bottle of wine and thinking about, you know, what it had cost me. On the following morning, I woke up, and he and I were laying next to each other. We're just friends. I looked at him, and I said, I'm done. I'm so done. And I'm going to go home. And he's saying, are you sure? You got anything left? You know, looking in my car, looking for another bowl, looking for whatever. It's like, no, I have nothing left. I'm going home, and I just know I'm done. So I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was pretty beat up. I was incredibly bankrupt, and I didn't know how to do life. And it was the suggestions of everyone that got me through the day. And I did everything that was suggested. I went to the 90 meetings in 90 days. I got a sponsor. I started working the steps. And it wasn't a year before the miracles and the promises started happening for me. I kept in touch with a person that was in that meeting. The very first meeting that I ever walked into was here in the neighborhood, and there's a person here that I was in that meeting, and I always checked back in with him and let him know that I was still sober. It was another year and another year. And now I had a career. I was working in biotech. I was working for the most incredible woman I had ever, ever had the privilege of working with. Not only that, here I was, little old me, working for a biotech. And I was working with the top 10% of the educated people in the world. And they looked at me with respect. And then I got it. I got that some of the things that I got out of this program were just not the tools. The tools that, you know, we hear on a daily basis. It's one day at a time. Sometimes it's an hour at a time. Work the steps. You're working every single step and the rigorous honesty and all those things that you're doing for yourself. But what the outcome of those steps and that work are is that we end up with self-respect and self-love and integrity. And that's what I got. And that was what I was seeing in the faces of the people that I was working with. Not only that, I got to go to school, and my employer paid for it. I got to go to UCSD, and I got an HR certificate. I'm an HR professional. Me, that good time having tabletop dancing, good time having person, is now in a job that's, you know, decent. I have the potential to be really self-sufficient, and I've got the potential to be better than I had ever expected. Never in my wildest dreams, while I was out there in the bars and dancing and having myself a good time, did I ever imagine that I would be a student at UCSD. And I did it. Most recently, you know, the years kind of progressed. I had my bag of tools. I didn't stay as connected as I should have to the program, but there was always that one person that I kept in touch with on a yearly basis that I got a token from. And most recently, in June, my sobriety was challenged. I was 10 years sober. And I find out that my husband is having an affair with a person that he met in a dive bar. And that was devastating to me, because here I am, a respectable, a confident person with integrity, and this comes at me. And the first thing I wanted to do was that alcoholic behavior came right back in a flash, in an incredible instant. When I heard that he was having an affair, I was in pain. I got sucker punched, and I wanted to drink. I wanted to drink so bad. And because alcohol in my house hadn't ever been an issue, you know, there was alcohol in my house. And I was ready to pick up the drink, but you know what I did? And I don't know how I did this. I have no idea. But I picked up the phone. I picked up the phone and I called another alcoholic. And I told this alcoholic what was going on with me. And I said, and today my sobriety is challenged. And today I fight for it. Today I am crippled by what life has handed me. And I know I don't want to drink. So I picked up the phone, and this alcoholic told me what I needed to hear in 30 seconds. He told me that if I drank, that it would give me a momentary relaxed feeling, that I would be able to forget it. But I would have, you know, the rest of the days of remorse and shame and of making bad decisions. So today, my sobriety is still challenged, but my tools are sharp, and I'm in meetings, and I am connected to the fellowship. Thank you.